We've been talking this last few weeks about obtaining through faith and or obtaining the promises, and today I'm speaking about obtaining through faith. Last week, we spoke about living in two kingdoms. We have to live here where we get along and we're asked to tolerate. The other kingdom that we are citizens of demands our allegiance and assists us, assuring us holiness, power, and victory. Getting along is okay. We need to love those we live among. But how many know we need to preach the gospel? Not only with our mouths, but with our lives. We said we're challenged to be in this kingdom, but we're of the kingdom of God. In this earthly kingdom, our vote counts, our opinion is voiced, and our disagreements are heard. In the kingdom of God, we have no vote. Our opinions do not matter. Come on, somebody. And disagreements are registered as sin, needing repentance. If we disagree with the Word of God, there's only one way out, and that's to confess your sin. Come on, someone. God doesn't care what you think. Come on. What's the Word of God say? We're renewing our minds. We have the mind of Christ. We're renewing our minds. We don't walk or talk or act like this world. So we talked about that, and we said that Jesus' mission statement, the very first thing that was recorded when he preached in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he preached the kingdom. Last week I said he's restoring the kingdom. I was wrong. And I apologize. I promise it will never happen again. He's not restoring. He has restored the kingdom. It's just ours coming into the realization of his restoration. Come on, somebody. He's not working at. He's not grasping for. He's not building anything. It's already done. How many know when Jesus declared it's finished, it's finished? So he's not possessing anything. We are. By faith, we possess what God has given us. We said that to the extent that we have not occupied and carried out His will is on us. There's no process in heaven. Heaven is not under construction. There's nothing to finish, line up, construct, or explain. The order, character, power, and authority of Almighty God is not only present, it dominates all things. We said your home, your office, anywhere you are becomes an embassy. How? By decree. We're an ambassador. We are one who represents with no personal opinion. We speak for Him. We represent Him. People come into contact with us. They come in contact with our Lord. We have all authority, resources, and support from the kingdom. We have everything we need. We're not lacking in any good thing. No good thing will He withhold for them that walk uprightly. So if it's lack, it's because of our unbelief. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, "He's talking about you." See, when we have those moments of weakness, we have those moments of times the church has made excuses for them. It's time for excuses to end. We already have. No good thing will He withhold for those that walk uprightly. Come on, somebody. That's just the Word. We already have it. Now we just got to walk in it. We said that we're children relationally and ambassadors governmentally. This week I want to talk about grabbing all of this by faith. Walking in it by faith. We need not strive to rule and reign. The power and authority to do so is ours because of birth into the kingdom. If you were born into the kingdom, you have every right, every privilege to rule and reign with Christ. Just like you were born in America and have all rights and privileges. We have anchor babies that are born here from foreign mother that have citizenship in America with all rights and privileges because they were born into the nation. If they're born 5 feet on the other side of the line between here and Mexico, they are not citizens. If the mother births the baby 5 minutes into the United States, that baby is now a citizen of the United States. How many know that? Called anchor babies. How many know you were born into the kingdom? That's all the requirements that are needed. It's not education. It's not how good you look. It's not what kind of Bible you carry. It's not where you go to church. It's not how long you sleep. It's not how long you pray. It's not how long you... Come on, somebody. You are a citizen of God with all the rights and privileges. You're a citizen of the kingdom with all the rights and privileges of that kingdom if you are born into the kingdom. That's why it's so important to be born again. It's not a mind thing. It's being born again. You're a new creation. And because you're a new creation, you have all the rights and privileges of that new kingdom. Come on, somebody. This will revolutionize your life if you get a hold of it. I'll give you a minute to get your steak knife out. You have been born into the kingdom. You did not sneak in. You weren't smuggled in. You have every right that Jesus has to come in and go out. You have authority and power. In your notes, exousia. Exousia means authority, control, the power of choice, permission, the right of privilege, the authority to walk in the kingdom as an overcomer. We need to train even our children. They have the same authority. It's not age appropriate. Oh, we don't want to tell our children. We don't tell our young people until they get older. They may not understand. I want to tell these young people they have the same authority as I do. Because the authority is in Jesus. And power, dunamis, or dynamis in your... It's both dynamis and dunamis. Depends on what you look at. And it means power, might, outward power, and influence. It means that when we walk into a place, when we become part of a group, when we work at a job, when we move, when we go to Kroger's, we have the power and the authority of the kingdom with us. It's not just when we meet. Power and authority is no big thing here. So there's a bunch of people getting together with power and authority. Come on, somebody. Power and authority means a whole lot outside these walls. Scripture says the kingdoms of this world, they will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. How do you think that's going to happen? No, there's not a coming out day. There's not a day when God's going to crack the sky and stick His head out and go, "Get it right!" It'd be really neat if He did that. But He's not going to do that. He's going to do it through you and I. The extension of His kingdom is you. Wherever you're at, He puts you there strategically. Stop second-guessing God. God, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? He strategically put you in there because of the people that you'll touch, the lives that you'll influence, the area that you'll change because of your presence in it. That's the whole thing of revival. It's waking up and realizing who you are. Stop the questioning. See, questioning is doubt. Doubt and unbelief. The Bible says, my Bible says in Hebrews, they did not enter the rest because of unbelief. We simply need to believe and act on God's word. See, Jesus came to accomplish the rulership of this earth through us. That does not mean that we rule over man. We rule over the worldly system that entraps people and exalts evil. Advancing the kingdom does not involve destroying physical territories or doing harm to others. It's not what it means. Our target is the human heart. That's what we fight for, not lands or buildings or wealth. We fight for the human heart. That's why God put us here and left us here. That's why we're breathing His air. And it's our inheritance, the kingdom. Jesus is the King, but He's not our inheritance. Come on, someone. He's the door. She said, I am the door to the sheep. Come in and go out and find pasture. I said last week, can you imagine buying a big, beautiful estate and camping at the door? Every time somebody comes in and say, man, that's a beautiful door. Well, I love this door, man. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm living right around this door. Meet my kids. They're right here. The bedroom's right there. The door's right there. Hi, door. What's the rest of the house look like? I don't know. We don't live there. We live by this door. It's a beautiful door. Jesus said, I am the door to the kingdom. There's only one way to get to the kingdom. It's through Jesus Christ. And He occupies living in us. So we have all the benefits of the kingdom. If we stay with just loving Jesus, oh, I love you, Jesus, thank you, and take care of me and change my diapers and fill my milk bottle. Now, Jesus didn't say come and sit. He said go and make disciples. Come on, somebody. I know I'm talking to the right people this morning. Cut that steak. Matthew 25, verse 34, says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As our inheritance, the kingdom belongs to us by legal right. Not yours to get, not yours to qualify for. It is yours because you are a child of God. Yeah. Kingdom is mine. Come on, somebody. That inheritance comes to us by being born into the kingdom. It's absolutely worthless for the world that we live in. It doesn't make any sense to those that are perishing. This system that we live in runs on a different, evil, divisive premise. The premise is sin, to miss the mark. That's what the whole world system is built on. It's sand. We can't rely on the world. We can't walk in the world. We can't suppose that the world is going to take care of us. We don't look to it. We don't lean on Egypt. We don't want their wisdom. We don't want their knowledge because it's built on sand. The big mistake the church made is to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and try to do what God told us to do, to go to build the kingdom based on worldly premise. Come on, someone. I'm old enough, I remember when it began to happen here in America in the 80s. Somebody came up with an idea, hey, we don't need to preach the word, we just need to be friendly. Be a good neighbor. Hey, good neighbor, you ought to see the door I got. Come on over and see my door. You can have that door on your life too. It's a nice door. Doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter who you're married to or not married to. It doesn't matter who you have sex with. It doesn't matter anything. You could just come and be anything you want to be, but just come. Come on, somebody. The kingdom was being extended, but on worldly principles. It was built on sand. Because it's absolutely useless to put kingdom principles on worldly system. It's like putting a gold earring in a pig's ear. Not going to change anything. They have to be born again. Come on, somebody. This kingdom principle works only if we work the kingdom principle in the kingdom that is ours. And we invite people in to open their eyes, to open their ears. Lives change. People are delivered. Things are different. Nothing can stop you, my brother and sister, from receiving your inheritance once you are born into the kingdom. Nothing. So number one, we are citizens of the kingdom in your notes. We are citizens of the kingdom. The thing is, we're all familiar with our rights as Americans. If I were to go around the room, we could tell all kinds of rights that we have. But few know that we have rights as citizens in the kingdom. We don't have to put up with the things the world, the earth people do. The earth people are of their father, the devil. He's not my father, and I don't have to put up what he tells me. He's a liar and the father of lies. I don't buy anything. I don't believe anything he says. Matter of fact, I don't even listen to him. Like I said last week, things that we say. Oh, you know, that flu's coming around. I'm going to get it one time or another. I better get some Vicks VapoRub. Come on, somebody. Better start eating that echinacea. I'm going to get a cold. Well, you're fixing to get a cold. Anybody listening to me? Come on. We've just got to change the way we look at things. We have rights. Part of our rights are health. We have rights. Part of our rights is wisdom. Understanding. The eyes of our understanding, Scripture says, being enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling. Jesus doesn't get any glory for failures. Come on, somebody. Wake up. So my aim is not to fail. We sew things into even programs. Brandon and I was talking a couple weeks ago. We talked about the 12-step program that sews in failure. You're going to fail, and when you do, here I am. I'm going to help you. That's like saying I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Don't ever say that out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. When I get up, the devil trembles. Come on, somebody. You have rights as a citizen in the kingdom. You have rights. They're not privileges, they're rights. They'll only work if you act on the right. It's not by osmosis. It's not by just, oh, well, I'm taken care of. You've got to speak it out of your mouth and walk in it as if it's the truth, because it is. There's no working up you have to do with it. You don't have to work for it. You just have to walk in it. Work with it, not for it. Oh, God, I got to pray more. I got to be more. I got to do more. I got to do this. I got to do that. Do, do, do. It's not a works mentality in the kingdom of God. It's just walking in who you are. I've said it before, you know, when I got up this morning, I did not struggle whether I was a male or a female. I did not stand at my wife's closet and say, should I put on women's clothes or men's clothes? I know that's popular nowadays, but I'm not going to be a male. I am a male. I'm not working towards being a male. I was a male the minute I was born, when the doctor slapped me and said, you had a son. When you were born into the kingdom, you are a child of the living God. You're an ambassador. You have all the rights and privileges of God. Sure, you grow into it. Sure, there's a knowledge that you gain through it, but it happens immediately. You don't have to stand in front of the mirror and say, am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? Am I going to be a Christian? Am I going to be a child of God? Am I going to be an ambassador? No, you are an ambassador. With all the rights and privileges. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure that He give you the kingdom. With all its rights and privileges. None of us this week are going to go to American citizenship classes. Nobody. If you did, we'd question your intelligence. Come on, somebody. I'm going to go learn what it is to be an American citizen. What? Just live. Am I talking to the right people? Come on. But then we make this thing so... No, wrong teaching has come into church so long, it's generations now that have been taught wrong about the Word. Oh, you're not quite there yet. You need to do this. You need to go through that training. You need to go to that seminar. You need to come and spend, you know, go spend $500 to go to Cincinnati and stay in a fancy hotel and eat meals, and then maybe you'll be good enough. Run from people that tell you such ridiculous things. I understand what it means to train and come together and pray. I'm not poo-pooing that, but that doesn't make me any better. I'm already all I'm going to be in Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 13. Everybody, you okay? I didn't bruise anybody, did I? John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It was in 1988 that I said yes to God when He sent me to India. When I went to India, I didn't know anybody else on the team. However, the team I'd never met before. Come on, somebody. And I read this on the plane. I said, I'm going over there. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, you ask my name and I'll do it. Come on, somebody. I didn't have anybody to lean on. There was no mentor. There was no teacher. Come on, somebody. I prayed for somebody who was deaf and they weren't healed. There was a lot of people healed, but first night I prayed for people. This person was deaf and dumb, and I prayed and I didn't get healed. So I went to the evangelist that was leading us, and I said, man, I feel bad. I prayed for this person. They didn't get healed. And, he kind of sloughed me off. Seemed like he was busy doing something else, like going to bed or something. Come on, somebody. The next night, we're praying, and he comes over and smacks my shoulder like that, hard. I'm praying for somebody. He says, come here. I went over, and he dropped this little boy in my arms, deaf and dumb. He says, pray that he'd be healed. I said, I told you I had problems doing this. He said, pray. Guess what? The boy was healed. Because I ask in Jesus' name that he might be glorified. Come on, somebody. Changed my life. There's nobody there holding my hand. And he knew better than hold my hand. He said, go do it again. Throw me in the deep end. Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, and you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Sometimes we want to call God the big tease. He says things that really don't come to pass. Is it because he said it the wrong way? Why is it? It's because of unbelief. Lack of faith, unbelief. My Bible says, whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Now, I'm not talking to a bunch of kids. Oh, you mean whatever I ask? I want $1 million. God will give it to me. Come on, somebody. But if you have that kind of faith, it'll happen. It's worth telling again. The college I went to, the founder's wife, founder died, and she was the president of the Bible college. And there was a piece of ground. If I said the story before, that's okay. You will hear it again. And there was a piece of ground right along Interstate 35 that goes right through the heart of South Dallas. And there was a few acres. And so she told her business administrator to call the company that was selling it and say, we need that property. Can you give it to us? And so he called the company and they said, we're not going to give it to you. It's $1 million. You got $1 million? You can buy it. And so she got up and made an announcement to the student body. She said, you stand with me in prayer because God said I could have that property. Amen. I thought she'd flipped her wig, tell you the truth. I'll just be honest. And so when I thought about it, I prayed, but I wasn't, I was out to lunch a lot of times. I was working a couple jobs and going to school. I had enough to think about. So December rolled along. Second week of December, she stood up and just for worship. And she said, I'd like to tell you something. She said, that company called us today. He said they had the worst year that they ever had, and we could have the property for $1. It's that $1 million piece of property. If you drive there today, it's all covered with apartments, married students, and it was given to Christ for the Nations for $1. And she said, whatever I ask, I'll receive in Jesus' name. Kingdom citizenship is a reality. It's not fantasy. It's a reality. You're a citizen of the kingdom. But not only is it a reality, it's also a mentality. Come on, somebody. The renewing of our minds. We offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service, and will not be conformed to this world. Romans 12, 2. Will not be conformed to this world, but will be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Why does our mind need renewed? Because we think too much like the world. That we'll not only know, but will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We have the Spirit immediately, but we need to work on getting the mind and the heart of God. I've asked you to pray. We've been praying this month on Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, if you'll turn there. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. I mean, I'm just getting so much out of it, praying it. I mean, I'm seeing things. Come on, anybody else? It's just exploding in my heart, getting cross references and all kinds of things. I was thinking about Jesus turning water to wine. I said, I was pretty impressed by that, praying. You know, Jesus, I'm pretty impressed by that. And He said, you could do the same thing. Come on, someone. Not turn water to wine. I don't have occasion to do that. I happen to be a teetotaler, so I don't need the wine. But how many know? We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. It doesn't mean we'll do all things, but we can do all things. Are you listening? It doesn't mean that we'll do all things. We're not super people, be every place at the same time, but whatever God lays in our heart to do, we can do all things. Ephesians 1, 16. We do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayer, my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you look in Isaiah, one of the seven spirits of Christ is the spirit of wisdom. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened, that you may know. That word know is affirm. Yada. It means to have intimate knowledge of what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Years ago, I was in Jamaica and I was talking to the pastor there. He said that one of the people in his church had died. That had come to his church. He lived in a lean-to. Just pallets and a corrugated steel for a roof, and that's where he lived. When he died, they found the equivalent to 10,000 American dollars taped on his body. He was so afraid that he would lose it, didn't trust banks or anything else, just had it taped to his body and lived like a hermit. Come on. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. What is in His inheritance? The kingdom. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. What's that mean? It means anything that we need. It's there. He's given it to us. Paul's not going to pray anything. This is Paul saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 3, 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, at your mind, will, and emotions, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now I want you to look at two verses. Verse 19 of chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. And verse 20 in chapter 3. According to the power that works in us. How many know you're plugged in? You're plugged in. You're plugged into God. Not only is His power towards us, but it works in us. I'm a force to be reckoned with. You get around me, you're going to get near the kingdom of God. I don't walk or talk or act like this world. The kingdom of God is within me. I work according to the working of His mighty power through me and through you. Come on, somebody. Say that. I'm powerful in Jesus' name. There are no restrictions. Come on, somebody. There are no restrictions. Go up to the courthouse, a surefire way to ruin the grass around the courthouse is put a sign saying, do not walk on the grass. You will not have grass very long. Come on, somebody. There are no restrictions. Everywhere we go, we carry that citizenship. Nothing can weaken the superiority of that citizenship but one thing, unbelief. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I tied up my brother as a kid. I watched Maverick. Probably there's not many people that know what Maverick is. How many remember Maverick? I watched that, man. That was my favorite show. He was the dude. When I was a kid, I walked around with the holster and the gun and the hat. You know, I was the sheriff. So I tied up my brother, and we had just, of course, watched a show. And I tied up my brother like he tied somebody up. And when he tied him up, the guy gave him some guff, and he hit him in the back of the head with the gun. So guess what I did? Figured, if we're going to play this thing out, let's play it out, man. Bam! Last time I ever saw the gun, the holster, or the hat. It was gone. Hebrews 3:12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Listen to how God sees unbelief. It's evil. We poo-poo it. Well, I just don't believe that. No, I'm struggling with that. Man, you are entering into sin. You are separating yourself from God. The only thing that can separate you from your Father is sin. So when unbelief creeps in, you need to treat it like He does. That's evil. I'll have nothing to do with it. It says, in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's the only way that we're not taking advantage of all the thing the kingdom has for me is because I don't believe it. It's not because the enemy's playing overtime. It's not because the enemy's wreaking havoc on me, although he will because of my evil heart of unbelief. It's not because of the enemy. It's my unbelief. When I start believing, the enemy is nowhere near. Come on, someone. I'm preaching better. You're saying amen. It's like the old story of Satan sitting on the side by a drainage ditch and crying. A guy comes walking by. He says, what are you crying for? He says, they blame me for everything. See, Satan is going to ride in on your unbelief. If you believe, you're protected. He has no authority in your life. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Submit to God, resist the devil. Come on, somebody. Many believers are in bondage because they have heard the wrong message. Many believers have heard the wrong message. And I would caution you to watch what you listen to and watch on television. The fancy lights, the HD, the words that wax eloquent in your ears. If they don't match the Word of God, run. Turn it off. Get away from it. Don't buy it. Satan blinds eyes and stops ears. Many believe that they must go through life defeated in one or more areas. No, not me. No defeat. I'm not defeated in any way. Come on, somebody. We've been preaching about change. Here's the change. No more coddling sin. No more coddling doubt and unbelief. It has no place in our lives. See, if you want to go to church where nothing changes. Hey, come on. Go to church with me on Sunday morning. Come on, man. Get up. Well, why do I want to go to church with you? Well, because it's a good place. There's not bad preaching there. There's good music and there's coffee. Well, man, you're broke. You're complaining all the time. You're sick half the time. Well, I don't want to go. You got the same problems as I do. Why I want to go? I got something better to do with my life in 2 hours. Going with a bunch of people whose life's no different than mine. Somebody, come on. Everyone wants to hear a message of victory. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have victory in my life. Jesus never told us to go and preach the gospel. Never did. No, he didn't. Turn there. What's it say? Gospel of what? Gospel of the kingdom. Told us to go preach the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the gospel of the kingdom. I can preach good news about a lot of stuff, but if I preach the kingdom of God, Jesus said, if I preach the kingdom of God has come near you. Church has too often become a clinical experiment where once in a while a miracle happens. Everyone wants power, and a source of all power awaits them in the kingdom. My friend, you are saved and called. You are called for victory. Saved and called. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. My Bible says, he not only saved us, but he called us with a holy calling. For what? To be a winner, to be an overcomer. We can live in victory and walk in confidence because the power of our enemy has been broken. He has no authority unless we give it to him. We give him authority, he'll take it. You better believe it. And if we don't give him 9/10 of our life, but we give him 1/10 of our life, he'll take the other 9/10. Come on, somebody. I have the victory in every life, but I can't stay off the pornographic websites. He'll take your whole life. I have victory in my life, but I can't keep a budget in my home. I have victory in my life, but I can't pray with my spouse. He'll take everything. Once you give him a foot, give him an inch, he'll take your life. The kingdom of God must be our top priority. Jesus gave no other commission. He said to his disciples, go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. If you are a believer, you are a saint. And if you are a saint, you are an heir to the kingdom of God. I'm not just a believer, I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. I walk in the kingdom of the Lord. The kingdom of God is all that matters, and apart from the kingdom of God, nothing matters. Oh, well, come on, man. That can't be. Steelers got to win the Super Bowl next year. They will too, by the way. My man over here is wearing a Steelers jacket. He knows who to root for. Nothing else matters except the kingdom of God. How many know God can do anything, but because He has given us the license, He can release on the earth only what we allow. You probably pray the same thing I do. God, won't you just come and change everything? I'm ministering to somebody right now that's trying to get free. And they said, well, I want God to do it this way. I said, He's not going to do that way. And they said, why? I said, because God's got His way. And it's only His way that'll work. Well, why doesn't He do it my way? Just stubborn, will not hear. Spend an hour talking to them. I want God to do it my way. If He loves me, if He can do anything, why didn't He do it this way? That's what I'm asking for, it to do it this way. Want it done this way? Nope, God. Come on, there's only one way. How many are foolish enough to ever argue with God? Come on. Put everybody's hand better go up. I've argued with God, and never once have I won. He's an all-powerful God, but He needs your permission. That's why prayer is so very important. God, come. Change our community. Lord, bring the lost to You. Father, we ask that You access the angelic warriors and send them. Stand round about Fulton County, God. Put a canopy of prayer over Fulton County, Lord. And He listens to our prayer. He activates on our words. Because God designed us to lead, the seeds of leadership lie within us, dormant until activated. There's not one person in here that should be a follower. You're a leader. Come on, somebody. Wherever you are in life, after you leave this building today, you're a leader wherever you go. If you think yourself of a follower, you think yourself less than everybody else, you have what you think. The problem lies not with the readiness of the harvest, but the availability of the harvesters. God, give me every opportunity to share Your grace. Give me every opportunity to share Your love. Mick and I have spent many meals together. If you know Mick very much, you know he likes to eat in good restaurants. How many know that about Mick? But when he goes anywhere, he talks to people about the kingdom of God. Never seen him pay a bill in a restaurant without handing somebody a card, a tract. Come on, somebody. Spread the kingdom wherever you go. That's the most important. That $5 you leave on the table will spend very quickly, but what you give them for eternity. The kingdom of God is advancing forcefully, and we who are citizens are part of the advance force that is storming the strongholds of the enemy. Every Christian should do one violent prayer a day. Every one of us. Devil, you get your hands off this town. You get your hands off my children. Come on, somebody. Get your hands off my finances. You can't have anything that is mine. I walk as a child of God, as an ambassador of the King. You can't have my health. Come on, somebody. And lastly, you know, if we just concentrate on what the King wants, He'll take care of our interests. I said, I've got a plan today, and I want you to walk my plan. Well, I've got a plan too, God. Who's going to take care of that? I'll take care of all that if you take care of my plan. Come on, somebody. God does need things. A brother in Christ was talking to me about this, attended our church, and said, you know, made an announcement, got up and said, I want to work less hours and make more money so I have more time for the kingdom. That's a bold prayer. He's working like 60 hours a week. I want to work 40 or less, and I want to make more money. About 3 weeks later, he stood up with a praise report. I got a job. I'm making more money. I'm working less hours. Come on, somebody. Put God's interest first. He'll take care of everything else. Seems like a pat answer, doesn't it? It's the word of God. Let every man be a liar, but God's word be true. Kingdom principles to live by. We are occupying and defending our territory in Christ. We are not getting, we already have. We just need to know how to employ it. My son is a plumber by trade, and he has this big shed with all tools in it, and it looks like a mess. And so every time he runs into a problem where he needs a tool, he goes, buys one. He's already got three or four of them in the shed. He can't find them, so he doesn't bother. He just goes, buys a new one. Come on, somebody. I helped him clean his shed out. He had like three of everything. Said you could start your own Home Depot, for Pete's sakes. You already have all that you need. Asking God for what you already have is a waste of your time and His. Just employ what you have. God, teach me. Come on, somebody. We're not trying to grab something. We already have it in our hearts. Father, I thank you this morning for your promises of faith. God, that we walk and in faith, believing all the things that you ask us to, Lord, all that you ask us to do, we're capable of. Lord, we thank you for our citizenship. We thank you, Lord, that you made us kings and priests to you. Lord, as we grow into that knowledge, Father, I pray that we would preach the gospel of the kingdom, not only with our words, but with our actions, the way that we live, the way we spend our money, how we spend our time. Lord, all these things might glorify you, that we might be a reflection of the kingdom of God. We thank you for what you're doing. You're stirring the body of Christ awake. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. You're stirring the church. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we look for the harvest. Lord, the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Use this training time, God, to make us strong in you. Father, we run from an evil heart of unbelief and embrace your word, the truth of your word. Lord, help us to walk in it. Even as we sang this morning, give us eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. That'd be a miracle if he gave us ears to see. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Yes.